I did always wonder why there were parrots here when I was a kid. And I just thought it was really cool that we have this really vibrantly coloured bird flying around our street.
Acid green birds fill London skies. And now they're spreading to other parts of the UK too. The ring-necked parakeets, native to Asia and Africa, are growing in numbers. But how do they get here? And how are they thriving in Britain's climate? We're off to the capital to look for them at Morden Hall Park with Jonathan Miller-McCall, otherwise known as J Talks Nature. I'm Ranger Rosie Holdsworth. Welcome to Wild Tales and the London Parakeet Mystery.
So I've grown up in South London all my life, but I've seen a vast array of species that are really cool and really interesting, and a lot of people maybe overlook them. Dogs are also part of the urban wildlife, probably telling me where the parakeets are. So over there. So my name's Jonathan Miller-McCall. I'm a naturalist, content creator, and conservationist. And today we're at Morden Hall Park.
And Jonathan is the perfect person to show us the parakeets here. He's a local who's been coming to this patch of green in South London his whole life.
I came to Morden Hall Park a lot as a kid. I was a huge, huge nerd who loved catching bugs in containers and just looking for any cool wildlife that I could find. I've always been drawn to the outdoors, so Morden Hall Park was the perfect place to be.
The park is a green oasis in the city. Open access, quintessential English countryside, just 3 minutes walk from the closest tube station. The riverside setting is shrouded in trees, with no visual hint of its position deep in the capital. Only the hum of the city and the inevitable sirens give its urban backdrop away.
It's such an accessible green space to me, to be honest, because it's in walking distance. I can get the bus here. So up to now, it's always been a place that I can easily get to.
And Jonathan is at the park today to look for ring-necked parakeets for us. But as he heads into the parkland on this very wet day, it's worth considering exactly how they ended up in the UK. Before they took to open skies, they were already being kept as exotic pets here in the 1800s, in aviaries or cages. How they transitioned to the wild has long stirred curiosity and sparked all sorts of theories. But two in particular have attracted more attention than the rest. And it's probably because they involve movie stars and a pretty well-known musician.
So there's quite a bit of culture around the origin of parakeets in the UK. There's two quite hilarious myths that people think are the reason parakeets are here. And one of them is, I think in 1968, Jimi Hendrix released a breeding pair of parakeets on Carnaby Street. And also, some parakeets were released in 1951 on the film set of a film called African Queen. And I think it's quite funny that there's like a load of lore and myths and legends around the origins of parakeets, which kind of gives them a bit more like character.
But in 2019, in an effort to put the myth to bed, researchers from Queen Mary University set out to understand how the birds had ended up in the UK. They studied DNA samples, the British newspaper archive, and also used geographic profiling, a technique originally developed in criminology. And while their conclusion of the Jimi Hendrix and African Queen theories was that there wasn't enough evidence to support the stories as anything other than urban myth, what their research did support was the view that most ornithologists have, that the spread of parakeets in the UK is most likely as a consequence of repeated releases and introductions, particularly during the spread of a rather unpleasant disease.
Around the 1930s, there was an outbreak of psittacosis, which is a zoonotic disease.
The disease, able to spread from animals to humans, scared the parakeet keepers, who then released the birds into the wild to save themselves before a ban on importing exotic birds came into play from 1939 to 1966. And although research has found little evidence to support a further myth that parakeets escaped when a plane crashed through an aviary roof at Sion Park in London in the 1970s, researchers did concede it was possible that numbers were boosted in the 1980s, when an apocalyptic weather event brought down 15 million trees.
There was a storm in 1987, the Great Storm, that damaged a lot of captive aviaries that allowed parakeets to escape.
And so it wasn't one thing that led to parakeets being in the UK.
The general consensus is that repeated releases and escapes are the reason why parakeets are in large numbers in the UK.
Jonathan is heading towards the boardwalk by the River Wandle to see if he can spot some parakeets in their now natural setting and share more about how they got here and how they've adapted to their British habitat. But on the way, he spots something high on a tree on the riverbank.
Oh, there's a cormorant. They're very, very cool birds. They actually don't have any oils that make their feathers hydrophobic. So they can't, they actually do get wet. So they have to spend time drying off. And they do this by like putting their wings out and standing there. It's kind of like, they're kind of like a statue. And this one's getting wet in the rain right now. It's probably why it's chilling there. Oh, it's the first time I've seen a cormorant in my local area. That is a good spot.
And after the impromptu pause, it's onwards to search for the parakeets.
Cool, so we're coming up to the wetland boardwalk where we should see some parakeets. For me, parakeets have always been part of the landscape. They've been around as long as I've been around. I was born in the 2000s, so they've been here more so since the 1990s, but there's records of them breeding from the 1960s.
And in the 1990s, those numbers began to grow noticeably, especially in London and parts of neighbouring Kent. From 1995 to 2004, their numbers surged 25-fold, an increase of nearly 2,700%. Latest estimates suggest that there are now in the region of 30,000 birds.
Which shows a huge explosion in their numbers and really, really highlights their adaptability. There's a nice little viewpoint on this boardwalk that gives you a bit of an elevated view of the wetland, and hopefully we should see some parakeets darting across.
But you can't take a self-confessed nature nerd with binoculars into the outdoors without them seeing what else they can spot.
This is like elite bird watching territory. I'm just gonna have a look and get my binoculars out and see what this bird is. I think there may have been a Chetty's warbler, which is a migratory bird. They have a very, very signature call. I hope it calls again. It's just flown away. I can hear wrens, a lot of robins as well.
And then there's the signature squawk of the parakeet.
Yeah, one thing about parakeets is you will hear them before you see them, and they do make themselves known.
But there's none visible from the boardwalk platform, so Jonathan heads off into the tree cover again.
Cool, so we're just going to go back over towards the woodlands. Well, hopefully all the parakeets are chilling because it's raining. There we go, there's four flying overhead. That's that signature squawk of the parakeets, a very, very common contact call that they make. It's like they're all shouting at one another. Oh, there's a few now. I feel like you notice a parakeet by the way they're flying. They have that really, really sharp pointed tail. They definitely dart across from one tree to another. There's a few. Oh, there we go. There's one. They all almost fly quite erratically, like they're in a rush, like they're late. They're late to a meeting. There'll be a huge flock of them flying in. It's almost to like form one bullet just flying overhead, or they'll just be scattering.
The sight of the parakeets darting overhead is now not just a spectacle reserved for London and Kent. They've been spotted across the south, from Brighton to Cardiff. And they're spreading north too, and have been seen in cities including Nottingham, Liverpool and Bradford. And incredibly, they've spread over the border into Glasgow and Edinburgh.
One thing about parakeets is they have specific dialects amongst different groups. So one group of parakeets will sound slightly different to another group. And that's how they know who's part of what group, which is really, really cool. It's kind of like they have their own almost language. So in different parts of London, you'd have different groups of parakeets that have different dialects to one another. And then also, as they expand northwards, those would have different dialects as well.
So northern parakeets would sound northern?
Maybe.
Northern accents aside, though, I live and work between Manchester and Leeds, and I know how cold those places get. We tend to associate parakeets with hot countries and tropical paradises. So how are they surviving in the UK's cities?
So scientists traced their lineage back to the region that they originated from, and they found that they are from northern Pakistan and India, which have regions that can get very cold, much like the UK. Also, on top of the fact that we're having warmer winters, it almost benefits these birds.
And there's another reason why London temperatures are just right.
In London, there is the urban heat island effect, which means that the climate is warmer within the London area, which perfectly suits parakeets and means that they don't really have to be as resilient to extreme cold weather. And I think that's also another reason as to why they love being in London.
It all adds up to a strangely perfect mix of just the right amount of cool weather and the right amount of heat for the parakeets to thrive. But there's more to their survival story than the correct weather. Parakeets congregate in suburban parks and gardens where there are nesting opportunities.
They also breed early in the year, around January. So that gives them a head start compared to native birds in terms of finding nest locations. So they are cavity nesting birds. They nest in old woodpecker holes and cavities in trees.
Urban parks and gardens also offer the best source of food.
Parakeets are very highly intelligent, and I feel like they know where the food is. There's this term called synanthropic, which means an animal that thrives in human proximity. They go to bird feeders in people's gardens and feed off the bird seeds, so they have that memory of where the food is. And that's why London is essentially a stronghold for parakeets, because there's people, which means there's food.
It also means there are houses, and their bricks and mortar have been discovered to be another source of food for parakeets.
Recently in the news, they were filmed clinging to the side of a house in large numbers, and what they found out was they were eating the clay and mortar that was in the brickwork, and the clay and the mortar contains essential salts and minerals that the parakeets need to supplement their diets and also neutralize toxins from fruits that they've eaten. This is very, very similar to parrots and parakeets in the Amazon that cling to the sides of collapsed riverbanks and consume the clay to also supplement their diet the same way. And that just reinforces how intelligent they are. They're essentially scanning their environment, problem solving and figuring out ways to survive. It's a very powerful thing to be that intelligent and navigate through this new ecosystem that they're living in. We're now walking under into a little woodland that is a bit further into Mordenhall Park. As we've just heard some parakeets, I feel like they're in this big tree. Yeah, there is. Oh, there we go. There's two on this tree, on this big cherry tree. I've just got my binoculars out, so I'm gonna have a closer look. Oh, there we go. There's one right here. Eating cherries.
It's scenes like these that Jonathan, as Jay Talks Nature, will grab footage of in an effort to spread the word online about the wonders of the wildlife we have in the UK.
A lot of my videos I'm outside, either filming as like a voiceover, but you can see me filming outside, or I'm kind of doing, I like to call it the David Attenborough style, where I'm like, here we have this species and I'm talking about how it's so cool and nerding out about it. And it's something that, again, like, encourages them to go out and find it themselves. Because it's like, oh, if he's just walked into a park and found this bird, then I can go and do it, you know?
For Jonathan, his social media presence is about showing people that nature is for everyone.
I'm of mixed heritage. My mum's Ghanaian and my dad's Scottish. Growing up, I never saw any conservationists or naturalists that looked like me. And so I wanted to show the younger generation that this is a cool thing to be interested in, and a conservationist or naturalist doesn't have a particular look. It can be anyone. As a black man, I think that I want to inspire other black men to pursue their passion. If they're interested in nature, it's not something to feel weird about or feel ashamed of.
if someone says, oh, I didn't expect that you'd be interested in nature, I'd be like, well I am. There's no particular blueprint for the average conservationist. It's just about opening the door and supporting one another to pursue that passion, so that we essentially create a sector that is full of flourishing, diverse individuals that can all work together in harmony, just like an ecosystem, you know?
For Jonathan, it's a similar story for the parakeets.
They are, like, if you search up parakeets, it says that they're the UK's only naturalised parrot. So I champion them as much as UK wildlife, because they are a part of the ecosystem now. If you can go very, very far back, and like we said, parakeets have been in the UK for decades. So they are carving out their own niche in the ecosystem. There are a lot of split opinions on parakeets. People think that they're almost like invaders, or they're not meant to be here, but ultimately they didn't have a choice in being here. They were brought over here and they've thrived. I champion parakeets because I love them. I love their adaptability. I love how intelligent parrots are. I just love how it adds a splash of colour to our urban environments.
But should their numbers be a worry? Are they fitting into our ecosystem? On the walk back, Jonathan hears them again.
There we go. You can hear them. They really do like to chill right at the tops of trees. I guess protection from predators, because they do actually get preyed on by peregrine falcons. So female peregrine falcons, as well as female kestrels, are able to feed on parakeets because they're big enough. They're bigger than the males, so they can take them down. Which is, I guess, it's a nice thing, because it shows that native wildlife are also interacting with these birds in the form of birds of prey, using them as a food source. So that can be a benefit going forward, to really help the population of birds of prey. Okay, so we're taking a stroll back to the main exit, and we've just passed the same cormorant that we saw at the beginning, accompanied by a load of parakeets, which just shows how they're a part of our ecosystem. They're this confident green bird that makes themselves known. They've got a lot of character. They're very adaptable, and in my opinion, they are carving out their own niche in the ecosystem. The climate and the environment is very different to when they first arrived in the country. We're now potentially looking at a new ecosystem, with them fitting in their own way alongside native species. And I believe that whether we like it or not, they are here to stay.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wild Tales. If you want to find out more about where we went with Jonathan, or want some inspiration on where you can go bird watching for other species, there's a link in the episode show notes. Or why not check us out on Instagram at WildTalesNT. Until next time, bye bye.